Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today's class is entitled Kali Yuga, a Curse or a Blessing. So first of all, Kali Yuga, just like our material world is divided in terms of seasons. We have spring, summer, fall, and winter. And the greater picture of the material world is divided into time. And there's different yugas. So there's Satya Yuga, 1,728,000 years. And the main process for God realization in this particular yuga was meditation. And Treta Yuga, 1,296,000 years, and the focus of meditation at that time is great sacrifices they had to honor the Lord. In Dwarpa Yuga, there's a decline in virtue and religion. The main focus in terms of God realization is deity worship. And then the age we're in now, Kali Yuga, also known as the age of quarrel and confusion, it lasts for 432,000 years. And the focus of that yuga is chanting the holy name. So Krishna, the last time Krishna appeared was actually in Dwarpa Yuga. Of course, when Krishna appears, he also appears with, he kind of turns everything into Satya Yuga. And of course, when God appears on the earth, he comes with a specific purpose. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that goes, Yadaya dahi dharmasya, glanir bhavati bharata, bhutanam adharmasya tadatmamam. That whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice as well as a predominant rise in irreligion, Krishna says at that time I descend. So at that time, there was a lot of problems with the Pandus and the Kauravas, other problems, and Krishna descended to take care of that, to annihilate the demons and to glorify his devotees. So Lord Krishna was very busy protecting the Pandavas, and of course the Battle of Kurukshetra ensued, and there was very few survivors. Mainly the Pandavas were the ones that survived. And after that battle, King Yudhisthira was enthroned as king. And during that time, his brother Arjuna, he traveled to Dwarka to see how Krishna was doing. And while he was gone, King Yudhisthira noticed certain things changing in his kingdom. Some inauspicious omens, like he noticed that birds, like owls and other birds, they were shrieking. And he noticed that dogs would bark at him furiously without any fear. And this is all things that had changed. That inauspicious animals were circumambulating the opposite direction, whereas inauspicious animals were circumambulating in the proper direction, and auspicious animals in the wrong direction. Also, that deities in the temple appeared to have tears in their eyes, and calves also appeared to have tears in their eyes. And when you looked at the deities in the temple, they also had tears in their eyes. So King Yudhisthira is thinking, what is going on? What's happening here? And also, there was a change in the citizens in his kingdom. He noticed that many of them were taking up foul means of livelihood, and that there was bickering among the citizens over trivial matters. And it says in the Bhagavatam, even there was bickering among husbands and wives. And we go, well, yeah. Isn't that what happens all the time? But actually in that age, it was rare. So King Yudhisthira was saddened by this, and he was pondering over what to do when, lo and behold, after about 6 months, Arjuna walked in. And Arjuna paid his obeisances to his kingly, elderly brother. And when he got up, he had tears pouring from his eyes. And King Yudhisthira was like, Arjuna, what's wrong? You know, what happened? He was asking him, are your friends and your relatives in Dwarka, are they well? How is our grandfather Surasena, and how is Uncle Vasudev, Ugrasena? How's Lord Balaram? Did he give you his blessings? Is Lord Krishna enjoying the assembly of his friends and relatives? And why are you feeling so dejected? Did you do something wrong? Did you perhaps not give charity to someone who was worthy? Or were you unable to protect someone who deserved protection? Did someone speak to you with unfriendly words? Were you unable to give worthy persons charity? Were you unable to keep a promise? And Arjuna was just silent for a while. You know, he didn't speak. Finally, Yudhisthira said, or is it that you have lost your dear friend, Lord Krishna? See, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Person of Godhead, he can appear in the world as a friend, as a father, in so many, as a lover in so many different ways. So Arjuna had the opportunity, the good fortune of being an intimate friend with Lord Krishna. Yeah, Krishna drove the chariot for Arjuna when they were in the Battle of Kurukshetra. But now Arjuna is lamenting that at this time he's lost his strength. He said, my heart feels completely devoid of everything. I've lost all my power with the disappearance of Lord Krishna. He said, on the way here, I was unable to protect Krishna's wives from some infidel cowherd men, whereas in the battle, I was defeating princes and kings. I even defeated the king of heaven, Lord Indra. So he was realizing where all his power came from. As King Yudhisthira sat there with Arjuna, pondering the situation, he realized that this was the beginning of Kali Yuga. That when Lord Krishna left the planet, this was the beginning of Kali, and that all inauspiciousness was ready to break out. And so he decided to leave. King Yudhisthira and his brothers, they decided they would go back home, back to Godhead. And Draupadi and Kunti, they decided they would follow him. So at this time, King Yudhisthira installs on the throne his grandson, King Pariket. And King Pariket goes around the kingdom making sure that everything's okay. And as he travels, he comes upon a bull that's standing on one leg and a cow that's crying. And the cow represents Mother Earth, and the bull represents religion, Dharma. And the bull stands on four legs, the leg of cleanliness, of austerity, of mercy, and truthfulness, right? And that's the last leg that the bull is standing on, is the leg of truthfulness. So he's observing them, and then he sees a man dressed in black, and he's proceeding to hit the bull and hit the cow. So he goes up to him and says, what are you doing? How dare you do this in my kingdom? What's going on here? But this is the personification of Kali. And so King Frick gets ready to slay him. But then what happens is Kali folds his hands and he bows to the personality of Kali and surrenders to him. So he says, you can't kill me because I'm surrendering to you. You have to give me a place where I can reside in this age. So King Pariket gives him some places to reside, any place where there's intoxication, you know, drinking, any place where there's gambling, where there's prostitution. Of course, Kali's not, he's not slaughterhouses, he's allowed to reside. Kali's not that, he goes, well, that's not much, where else can I go? So as a last resort, King Pariket also gives him, wherever there's gold is stored, you can also reside there. So this is the beginning of Kali Yuga. And of course, daily we can see how Kali Yuga is progressing, how so much of good qualities, of virtue, of religion. It says that in this age, Pravritamcha, Nivritamcha, Jana, Narvadur, Asura, that people, they don't know right from wrong. And they don't know religion from irreligion. They take irreligion to be religion, and religion to be irreligion. So many times when the devotees are out chanting, oftentimes they get criticized and persecuted. But of course, this chanting really keeps the earth alive. Prabhupada said once, it's what's kept the greenery on the planet. So as this age progresses, it becomes more and more dangerous. Every time you read the newspaper, something new comes up. I was reading recently what the leading cause of death is for people under 50. Does anybody want to venture a guess as to what that could be? What is the leading cause of death? It's not car accidents. It is drugs. It's overdose on opioids. So this is so unfortunate that never a time in history, but prescription drugs are so prevalent. There's actually three states that are suing the pharmaceutical companies, West Virginia, Ohio, and New York, because they claim they have proof that these pharmaceutical companies are not only, you know, encouraging doctors to prescribe these kind of drugs so profusely, but also that they funnel them into the black market where people can buy them on the street. So how unfortunate. And Srila Prabhupada stresses again and again what the solution is. Of course, Kali Yuga, a curse or a blessing. The blessing side of Kali Yuga is that Lord Chaitanya appeared, the golden avatar. The most merciful incarnation appeared. And of course, when the Lord appears, he appears to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to establish the principles of religion. So Lord Chaitanya came in order to do that. And he was here for a short time, but it was very recent. It was 500 and some years ago. And when Lord Chaitanya left, he also left his holy name that would be able to circulate. And Srila Prabhupada says that, well, every time we chant Hare Krishna, it goes around the world so many times, purifying everything in its path. And that as we chant Hare Krishna, he says, all the, when we go out on Hare Nam, it's so wonderful because everyone's able to see it. Just like someone told me recently then in Miami, there used to be devotees, Siddha Vidya, who would go out on Hare Nam. I think practically every day he would go out. But Siddha Vidya passed away and there isn't so much Hare Nam in Miami, and some of the people are asking, where are you guys? You know, what's happened? Of course, in New York, there's Hare Nam all the time now. So it's actually what's changing the face of the planet. It's what's bringing piety and hope for our world. Really, the only thing that is bringing piety and hope to our world is Hare Nam and Prasadam, Kirtan, and Srila Prabhupada's books. Those are the gift that is the blessing of this Kali Yuga. Otherwise, we see that things are reducing so much that Prabhupada says that in the courtroom that it's very difficult to get justice. He says because in this age of Kali Yuga, that someone is not recognized for their good qualities. They're not recognized for their honor and their truthfulness and their virtue. They're glorified if they are rich. If they're a wealthy person, they're glorified. Sometimes they become president of the United States. Can you imagine that? And there's really no justice for the common man. He says, unless you have money, oftentimes when you go to court, it's disregarded unless you have enough money to be able to bribe the proper people. So we can't underestimate the importance of this Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada gives the example of Gandhi and how Gandhi, when he was brought to court in England, they would offer him a seat to sit, like for any respectable man, but Gandhi would refuse to sit. He would stand up and they would ask him questions and he would say, I'm not going to answer your questions because I know that I'm not going to get justice here. So he would just perform his austerities. He would perform his austerities and ultimately Swaraj or independence was granted. And of course people, they're always talking about independence. You know, everybody wants independence and they also want independence from God. But of course, there is no real independence from God. There's no real freedom from God. Srila Prabhupada calls the four regulated principles of spiritual life, no meat eating, no fish or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication. Those are the real principles. Those are the real principles that free us from sinful life. That is what is, that enables us to be able to live a healthy, satisfying spiritual life. So this is what we're aspiring for in this age of Kali Yuga. Whenever the Lord appears, when Lord Ramachandra appeared, all body and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear and fatigue were completely absent. Prabhupada says there was even no death for people that didn't want it. Then there's a story of Lord Buddha, when Lord Buddha appeared. And of course, each incarnation has a specific purpose for appearing. But when Lord Buddha appeared, his parents had his astrological chart prepared. And it said that this boy, when he saw the suffering of the world, that he would renounce the kingdom and he would just become an ascetic. He would become a sadhu. So his father, the king, became very alarmed when he heard that. And he said, all right, well, we're going to make sure he doesn't see this. He doesn't see all the suffering of the world. So instead, what they did is they tried to make inside the walls of the kingdom completely protected with no, he wouldn't see any sick people, he wouldn't see any dead people, he wouldn't see any suffering. But of course, as Prince Buddha became older, he wanted to go outside the kingdom. So he asked for someone to give him a ride so he could walk outside and, you know, just see what was going on. And very shortly he came upon a sick person. So he was looking at the, he stopped and he went over there and he was like alarmed. What is this? What's going on here? Well, this is a person who's diseased. This is a person who's sick. Because how did it happen? There's so many ways that people get diseased. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said disease is so prominent in Kali Yuga. He says the main reason for disease is no regulated spiritual life, like overeating, indulging, over sense gratification. And that is typical in Kali Yuga. So if you want to be healthy, you should have a regulated life and eat simple vegetarian food. Then the Buddha went on his journey and he saw a funeral, he saw a corpse. And again, he was alarmed, like, what's happening here? What's going on? So this is a person who has died. It's going to happen to all of us. And so then and there he went and he sat under a certain type of a tree. Was it a banyan tree? A shok tree? A bodhi tree. Okay. And he meditated on all of this that he'd just seen, that he'd seen this disease, death, old age, birth. And he realized, what is the use? And Srila Prabhupada comments in one of his purports that a wise person, an intelligent person who is seeking knowledge, he always has to keep that in mind. Jara, Mityu, Janma, and Vyadi. Birth, death, disease, and old age. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You know, there's a bumper sticker. What does it say? Something like, the one with the most toys wins. You know, but it actually, it's not true. It's kind of a joke. It's kind of sarcastic. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter how much somebody has, because ultimately, we have to relinquish that at the time of death. In this age of Kali Yuga, we're very fortunate in so many ways, because we have a very short lifespan compared to other ages when people live for 1,000 years or 10,000 years. In this age, to live 100 years is considered a long time. So when the demigods look down from above and look at us, they're kind of jealous. You know, we heard that they line up to take birth in the family of devotee, because they're, to them, they're looking and saying, well, they have this very short life. All they have to do is chant Hare Krishna, dance, you know, take Krishna prasadam, and they'll become liberated. Like, what's the problem? You know, that's so easy to do. Of course, Prabhupada says it's simple for the simple, difficult for the difficult. But it's something to keep in mind. And how fortunate we are to have come upon this very, very incredible mercy that Lord Chaitanya has given, and that our Srila Prabhupada took so much pains also to deliver to us. And we see in our line of our Sankirtan movement also, there's also so many disciples of Srila Prabhupada and grand disciples who continue to give out such causeless mercy, day after day going out and giving out these books. I actually have an acquaintance, a woman that was corresponding with the temple, and they gave the address to me. She's in her 80s, this woman, and she lives in an office building because it's very inexpensive. But she has her office building room. I don't think it even has a bathroom. She has to go down the hall to use a bathroom. But she has it set up as a temple, and she, every month, with her very limited Social Security income, she buys some Bhagavad Gita. So she just wrote to me recently and told me she'd just given out her last Bhagavad Gita, so I'm going to try to send her some more. But here is someone very elderly. She walks with a cane now, she said. What a blow to my pride. She walks with a cane. But she's so devoted, such a devotee. And just really, I was trying to make an arrangement for her to move up here, perhaps to move into a large apartment, because it goes by income, but they still take one-third of your income, which is too much for her. You know, because if she gets $1,000, it's still $300, and $600 isn't enough to live on. So we're working on that. But just a good example of someone who has taken up this process with so much determination. Sometimes we take it for granted, the mercy that we've received, and all the compassion that's been showered upon us. This morning, Maharaj was giving class and telling us about how Russia has become such a explosive country in terms of Krishna consciousness. So many people are becoming devotees. I actually had a young boy in my class when I taught at the charter school. His name was Sashi Sutta. And every year we would write books. And so when it came time to write books, Sachi Sutta was like, well, I don't know what I should write about. And I said, well, why don't you write about your father, his experience being a devotee in Russia and how he was imprisoned and everything that happened. So he went home and he talked to his dad about it. And they decided this is what they would write about. So they wrote this whole book. You may have heard of it, Salted Bread. And it was by the time he finished, and they printed it for free, this company that I was dealing with. And, he had photographs there and pictures in there. And from there, he went on to print it with a regular publishing company. But all about the amazing austerities that performed in this one devotee that was his namesake, Sashi Sutta, and how in prison, how he made japa beads out of bread. You know, he would just take the bread instead of, and can imagine, they don't get that much to eat, and they weren't treated very nicely in prison either. But he just squeezed it, the bread, until it, you know, maybe put some water on it and then let it harden. And he got some japa beads, and he would just chant all day and read from Bhagavad Gita. So one morning when his roommate woke up, he saw Sachi Sutta sitting there, and he was like, Sachi Sutta. And he didn't answer. You know, he had a dhoti on that he put on from the sheet from his bed. And somehow he had put tilak on, and he had his japa beads that he was holding. But when he wouldn't answer his roommate got closer and closer until finally he realized that this devotee had left his body like that. You know, just sitting there chanting, and he had just left his body. So what an example of somebody who's in the most difficult situation, and again, someone who is completely blameless and doing the most important yajna. You know, in Kali Yuga, the most important yajna is a Sankirtan yajna. Harinama, 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 Kevalam. Kalu in the stave, in the stave, in the stave, Gityonyatavet. In Kali Yuga, there is no other way except for chanting the holy name. In this age, even though it's a very degraded age, we're lucky to be in a time, since Lord Chaitanya advented, for the next 5,000 years, let's say, where it's called the golden age of Kali Yuga. So we can see that in all different places. Even we can see that here in America, that, you know, things that were considered very weird and out of place, like being a vegetarian. Being a vegetarian or a vegan is totally the thing to do now. It's the thing to be. And kirtan, there's kirtan everywhere. And, you know, there's rabbi kirtan and kirtan at every practically concert that you go to. There's some kirtan involved. So this is all, again, Srila Prabhupada and his disciples' work, because as these books go out, I just got a couple of them here, the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada said that these books are deities and they act. So even if you give somebody a book and they bring it home and they stick it on their shelf, there's so many stories of what's transpired after so many years. I had a friend in Hawaii who got a book in the airport from some fast-talking devotee, and she was sitting there one day, years later, just sitting there, kind of bummed out about something, and she looked up and she saw the Bhagavad Gita, and she took it and she brought it down and started reading it. She was like, whoa, and she went to the temple and became a devotee. And there's another story of a young woman doing Sankirtan in Spain. And she goes on a bus. It's one of the ways they do Sankirtan. They hop on a bus and distribute books. So as she's going down the aisle, many people taking books. When she gets to this one man, he grabs the Bhagavad Gita away from her. He rips it in half. He gets up. He stomps on the Bhagavad Gita. He takes the devotee woman and he throws her off the bus. And she can imagine, you know, she's like horrified. And this man, he doesn't want to litter the bus, so he puts the Bhagavad Gita in a bag and he brings it home and he puts it in the garbage. Well, the maid sees the book in the garbage and she's thinking there's some mistake. So she takes the book out of the garbage and she gets her tape and she repairs the Bhagavad Gita and she puts it on the bookshelf. So many years later, the man is sitting there, and his wife had passed away from cancer, and he now also has a terminal disease, and he's also feeling bummed out. So he picks up, he looks up, he sees this book, he brings it down, he starts to read it, and he reads it, and he reads it, and he reads it, and he's like, oh my God. What have I done? I'm about to die. Here it is, the truth in book Bhagavat form. And he goes to the nearest temple. He becomes a devotee. He becomes an initiated devotee. But now all he can think of is how he can find this woman who gave him the book and apologize to her for such a great offense. So that's what he does. He ultimately finds her, apologizes to her at their reunion, and becomes a devotee. I had a friend in Miami. Some of you may know him, Jairam. And Jairam, he used to come and visit us on his way back from Colombia. But he had no interest in Krishna consciousness. One day he called up and he asked me to go with him and his wife parachute diving. He said, why don't you come parachute diving with us? And my husband said, why don't you come to the feast like a normal person, you know? But he went parachute diving. What happened is, when his wife, he jumped out of the parachute, everything was fine, but when his wife jumped out, the parachute didn't open. There was some malfunction. So she fell like a mile onto the ground. And, she broke practically every bone in her body. You know, all her teeth fell out. But he prayed. He prayed to Krishna, if you save my wife, I'll become a devotee. And she lived, and he became a devotee. And he told me that when he would go to different airports and see the devotees, he made it his goal to try to harass the devotees, to make them cry, to be just as obnoxious as possible. So he said to me, whenever someone gives you a hard time, because I was doing book distribution at the time, he said, if anyone gives you a hard time, just remember that it's a farce. It's a farce. And just give it everything you got, because sooner or later, you know, it can get through to these people. Srila Prabhupada says, Sumedasa, that those who have sufficient brain matter will take to this process of Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada says that devotional service, even a little bit of devotional service, is enough to mitigate all the suffering that you have. Pure devotional service gives immediate distress, immediate relief to material distress. And you can feel that. I was talking with a devotee recently, and actually it was one of the youth, and she was saying just how difficult life could be, you know, that, you know, kids and working and husbands and just so much difficulty. She said, but by the time she gets to the kitchen to do her kitchen service, she's like, ah, you know, it's such a big relief to be able to serve Krishna. And it says in Bhagavad Gita, Nihabhikrama Nashosti Prachivayana Vijite Swapama Apyasya Dharmasya Chayate Mahatobayasya. In this endeavor, there's little loss or diminution. And on this path, even a little advancement can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, you know, we should all think of how we can, you know, we're all so busy. That's one characteristic of Kali Yuga. I don't have time. You know, when you stop somebody on the street to give them a book, you say, well, I don't have, nobody has time, you know. But factually, what is the name for Krishna that means time? Kala. Krishna's time. So you think that by serving Krishna, you're not going to have enough time to do everything else? Krishna can expand your day. He can expand your year. As you serve him, he'll give you the time to do everything. So if we can just, you know, remember that and really, you know, really focus in on that, it can give us so much relief. It also says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kashyan Yatati Sadhaya Yatatam Api Sadhanam Kashyam Mambati Tapataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, but of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So to become a devotee is such a rare event. We would always hear, just like you're in the ocean and there's a log in the ocean and there's a hole in the log, what are the chances of a turtle swimming and just coming up under that log, under that, through that hole and lifting his head up? I mean, if there was a statistician here, you could calculate what are the chances of that happening. Not very likely. So everyone that's here, that's performed even a bit of devotional service or has become a devotee, Srila Prabhupada says that the step from becoming a non-devotee to a devotee is the biggest step you'll ever take. The step from becoming a devotee to pure devotee isn't as big as the step that you've already taken. So our passion, you know, to be free from these modes of material nature, to be free from adiatmak, adibhautik, and adidaivik, you know, the miseries of the mind, the miseries from the natural disasters, which everyone's suffering from. Radha Damodar, who's in the hospital, his son was here visiting from Sharanagati. Some of you know him, Kartamasa. And he was telling about Sharanagati, and sounds like such an incredible place, you know, up there kind of in the middle of nowhere. But guess what? The material modes of nature are well and active, and the miseries of material nature are also very active. He was saying that there's a bear that will come and just kind of look into his window, you know, as they're doing the dishes, or, you know, they had a car seat in their car, and I guess the bear could smell the crumbs that his, you know, younger daughter would drop in the car seat. So he broke open the car window and ate half the car seat, you know. And Well, and also, he left this morning because there was these forest fires that were very, very close. And you may not know that Carr has 4 children now, 1 boy and 3 girls, age 7 and under. And so he was very concerned that the wind was blowing the opposite direction, but it wouldn't take much for the wind to change. So he was very concerned about his family. So these kinds of miseries are overactive in Kali Yuga. But also the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada is also just there for the taking. Prabhupada would say, just like the rain falls, and the rain falls on everything equally. But, you know, parts of the earth will suck it up, and in other parts, like a stone, can't really absorb it. So the mercy is there for us to absorb, and it's up to us to take it. There's so many opportunities, and even in our own home, of course, you know, we can take the opportunity. We have our altar, you know, we make garlands, or we offer nice prasadam, or we invite somebody over for prasadam. So many ways for us to increase that love amongst the devotees, you know, those personal relationships. You know, sometimes our biggest tests come with each other. But when you think about how else are they going to come? You know, we associate with devotees, so sometimes we're going to have difficulties with each other. You know, but to take that humble position, to be humbler than a blade of grass and more tall than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respects to others, if we can do that, we'll be able to win the love and respect of all of the devotees in this community. So I think I'll stop there, and I would just ask if any, you know, if you have a comment or a question or a story or a realization that you'd like to share about anything we've spoken about today about Kali Yuga, that this would be a good time to come forward with it. Because it's wonderful in class, you know, when you exchange, you know, when you kind of share some idea or realization that you've had. So I'll give you a minute to think. Actually, Vaisheshika does this, but he usually announces it at the beginning of class, so he gives people, and I forgot to do that, but it's, yeah, the whole class period to kind of think about, well, is there something you want to ask, or is there something you want to... Oh, I know one thing, though. I wanted to read this amazing poem first, and I'll give you time to think while I'm reading this poem. This poem was written by Jamadagni, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. It's called Dark Age. And he wrote most of the lyrics to Mangalananda's songs. Many of you are familiar with his songs. So he's an incredible poet. It's called The Dark Age. A veil of evil hangs above the earth, harbinger of night with weapons sharp. The clarion of doom has taken birth, and crushing love has broken heaven's harp. Cement and steel where once the land was green, and clouds of poison fill the threatening sky, where rain once fell and rainbows could be seen, the wells and hearts of men will soon be dry. The clamor of machines has killed the birds who used to fill the morning with their song, and cruel men speak clever-sounding words to secretly confuse the right with the wrong. The rivers, fields, and mountains of our lands, a birthright to our children from the Lord, have fallen into crooked leaders' hands, and no man dares to lift the sacred sword. But listen, man, as darkness gathers around, one light still shines, a pure and radiant flame, just breaking forth like sunrise is the sound of God, who's come to save us by his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's called Lotus Eyes, Lotus Feet. I don't think there's too many copies of this left, but there's, and all different subjects, and just brilliant, brilliant work. All right, your last chance for question, comment, realization. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you so much for your kind attention.
Thank you.
Oh, there's a question. All right. Yes. Is there any microphone? Okay. Jagannath is coming with a microphone.
So it was more just like a comment. You were saying how Krishna is Kala at times. So, and I remember when I was a student at the university, I was very busy. But I was also training 16 rounds and going to Mangal Aarti every day. But sometimes I felt conflicted, like, oh, I have so much to do. How can I chant my rounds and do this? But I made it a priority. I don't have time to do anything else until I finish my rounds. So I made my sadhana a priority throughout my school year. And not only did my spiritual life improve, but I graduated with honors. So what you're saying is right.
Haribo. Thank you for that story. Actually, Ranald Marsh tells a story of a young man, a college student, and he used to always come to the temple, but then he might have gone into grad school. It became more intense, his classwork. And so he kept saying, I'm going to come when I graduate. I'm going to come after I graduate. So he graduated, and then he went to, an after graduation party. And he said, I'm going to come tomorrow after the graduation party. But factually, he somehow left his body that night. So it behooves us to make our spiritual life our priority. And like you said, Krishna's time, he expands. He'll just give us time to do everything else. So thank you for that. And Bhagavad Gita's, Srimad Bhagavatam's are available in the back. If you don't have one, you might want to get one and just put it up there on your shelf. Even if you don't have time to read it right away, it will draw you to it sooner or later and save you. So now it's time for prasadam. One of our favorite.